Teammates do. Because I know most of our young people are on sometime to take. Amen. So I want to talk about it from the concept of what great teammates do. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I need somebody to bring me my copy. It's like the same copy they got some things underlined on. What great teammates do. Now, Gino Auriemma. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Gino Auriemma. Gino is a coach of UConn Husky women's team. He's Hall of Famer. He holds the record for championships in the NCAA Division I basketball, but you know he's in the women's basketball, but he holds a record for both the women and the men's. All right, combined, there's nobody that's won more championships than he's won 11. And he says that when he goes to recruit in high school or wherever he goes to recruit, what's important to him and what he pays a lot of attention to is not just what happens on the basketball court, but what he pays a lot of attention to is how players react after they get off the basketball court.
All right.
When they're on the bench. He doesn't like, and he won't recruit a player that's on the bench moping. Because of his playing time.
Right.
Or one that's not supportive of his other teammates while they're playing.
Right.
He wants somebody on the bench who celebrates that and encourages and pushes the other team members even when they're not on the court. Because they find joy in the accomplishments of their other teammates.
Yeah.
I think he knows that those who celebrate and cherish and find joy in the accomplishments of their other teammates, even when they're not on the floor, maybe they're second or third string, or maybe they're first string that he's cutting out something, but they find joy in the accomplishments and support the accomplishments of the others that are on the court. Because he knows it's that kind of a mentality that creates a winning culture.
Amen.
Listen to me. Because that's what we want to create, man. We're already there. I'm not saying we don't have it, but I want it to even become more better. We want here at the Bethany Air Church this morning, and I thank the Lord wants it for his church. We want a church that has a winning culture. Our winning is not about points, it's about souls. And if you're going to have a winning culture, you've got to be the kind of church that is not all about you.
I'm up here.
In front, but it's not all about me. Believe me, if you wasn't here, I would just be talking to myself. There's no way I could have accomplished anything as pastor of the church unless I had people who were supportive and caring and took joy in what we together accomplished. Because that's what causes us to have a winning culture. But now, even though I said teammates, this truth here that I'm going to share with you, and remember I said what great teammates do. This can not only be teammates, but this can be classmates. Or workmates. For those of you that work with other people, this should be shared by people that glad. And church makes people that go to church together. And marital mates ought to have this thing here. And roommates, and if by some reason, amen, you're listening to us and you are incarcerated, whether you're guilty or not, even cellmates. Because you can change the colors. You can change the culture wherever you are. If you want, if you do what I think Paul is telling this church in Philippi to do. If you do what he's telling the church in Philippi to do, you have a winning culture. A culture that can win people to Christ because of their attractiveness. Are y'all with me? Is anybody with me? I'm all by myself. I can't win by myself. I need you to win with me. Amen. We're gonna win, but I need you to win with me. So whatever, make that truth portal to whatever situation you're in. You can bring it to your marriage, you can bring it to work, you can bring it to school, you can bring it to your neighborhood, you can bring it to non-profit organization, you can bring it to people that share your same hobby that you hang out with, you can bring it to the prayer ground, wherever it is, bring that same attitude. That same mentality. What, let me go ahead and tell you the answer to this question. What do great teammates do? Great teammates bring a we mentality rather than a we mentality.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Y'all with me?
Right,
don't miss that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Great teammates bring a we mentality rather than a me mentality. You want a we culture.
Amen.
And not a me cancer.
Alright.
Don't miss that now. Right. You want a we culture mm-hmm. if right. you want to win, and not a me cancer.
Alright.
Same thing cancer does in the body. Cancer doesn't act in a healthy way in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it destroys the whole body because it's It doesn't cooperate with the other parts and things that kill that make up the body. It's wrapped
right.
in the way it acts and it causes problems. It got a bad locker room. It messes up the locker room of the body. Nobody wants somebody on their team that's bad in the locker room. Amen. You want somebody, amen. You can have a great team, you get the wrong person in the locker room.
Right.
And they mess up the whole team.
Yeah.
They always want the ball, they always want the spotlight. It's always about them. You can't have a winning culture. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, you can't have a winning culture. Everybody's pulling together and unity. Now, in chapter one, if you look back, when you go home, read chapter one, especially look at verse 27 and on as it leads up to chapter two. And you find out what happened in chapter one. Paul is talking about an external attack. He's talking about, and especially himself, but he kind of focuses on himself, then he kind of switches to the group. But in the first time, he's talking about as himself as a representative of the gospel, somebody that was trying to make disciples, trying to win people to Christ, trying to turn people around so they can have a better life. He talks about an attack from those outside the
church,
trying to attack and stop the gospel message and the ministry of Paul and the church of one fold. That's what he talks about in chapter one. But now, as he gets to chapter 2, he talks about the need for unity. Because without unity, not only do you have to face an external attack, but it also there's an internal attack. You can't win. And now, because we got to all get together in order to confront the enemy. If you're on a team and you're trying to defeat another team, and that other team has unity, and you're fighting each other, you can't win. Unless you're supporting and encouraging each other. Let me give you some examples of what I'm trying to talk about where you kind of feel this thing. And this all pork up with sin. You remember after Adam and Eve transgressed and ate the forbidden fruit. And God came. Said, Adam. Notice he said, Adam. Where are thou?
Right.
You know they were hiding. Because they were naked. Now they had been naked all the time. But now they're ashamed of that because sin had came into the world.
That's right.
But they stopped the sin. And then before sin, there was unity. Before sin, I'm like, hey, bless my foot, my bone, and all that. You know, unity. That they were working together. They were so together that he didn't even, the fact that they were naked, wasn't even noticed, wasn't even a problem. But when sin came into the world, notice what he said when God called him into account. The woman.
That you.
Yeah.
Right.
She
did. Yeah.
I didn't sense. And at that point in time, he stopped being, you did not see the we mentality. You saw the me. Because he's trying to save, I'm trying to save myself.
Right? Amen.
I always wonder, because people always ask me this question, Pastor, what do you think if Eve was able to get Adam refused to do? And you always ask that question. Too many things about that. But I would say, what if rather than these Adam and the woman you gave me, if Adam would have had a wee mentality and been a team player.
That's right.
See, God, it's my fault. You gave me a son.
Amen.
To be head of my house.
Amen.
When I stood there and I saw Eve and the serpent conversing, I know my responsibility as head of my house was to be her covering.
Come on.
That was my responsibility. But I was passive in fulfilling my own responsibility.
Amen.
So God, what happened was totally my responsibility.
Right.
Oh, y'all. See, that's what we, when somebody mess up on the team, you kind of pay it and say, hey, it's my fault. Especially if you're leadership.
Amen.
When you see good team players, they're trying to use maybe they have great game, but they're already reflect the spotlight off of them and say it's my team.
Yeah.
No matter how announced it, when you did this, they said, oh yeah, the team is this. And because that's what a good teammate does.
Amen.
On your job, amen. Yeah, you talk about how great your team
is. Amen.
Don't make it all about you. Don't make the church all about you. It's always about the team.
Amen.
Sometimes people make mistakes. Amen. It's my fault. Because I'm the pastor. I may not have anything to do with it, but it's my fault because I'm the leader. The buck stops here. Maybe I didn't train well enough. Maybe I didn't correct them at a certain time, but the book always stopped here. So it's my fault when something goes wrong. Even if I didn't, was a direct part of that, it's still my fault. Because I'd rather coach them. Because that's what a team does. That's what a good teammate does. They accept responsibility in order to cover for their teammate. Because you know what they're going through. And you said, amen. I'll take one for the team. Take one for the team. Because and then when you have that kind of cousin, when it's turned around, the teammate will take one for you. You watch, that's where we're going. That's where we're going with it. Because y'all don't do what it's right here in the Bible. Let me show you a few minutes. So, but that thing, Adam would have had that response. that missed out chance to have that kind of support. And I'm thinking, there was something kind of, it may not have been a big thing, but there was something going on in a Philippian church that Paul was trying to address to. Now, you know, in chapter four, he talked about a couple of ladies.
Right.
I'm quite sure they weren't only one into, but he talked about Eunia and Syntyche. Right. Chapter 4, verse 2.
Right.
Trying to tell him, hey, we got to work together. We got to squash this thing y'all got going on. And maybe, you know, sometimes when people are having a little squabble in church, people begin to take sides. If you've been in church long enough, you know what I'm talking about. And what should be a winning team when so the Christ becomes an unattractive because of the division and the lack of unity, and the external forces come against it because they're internally divided.
Amen.
Are y'all anybody here?
Amen.
Am I mic on here?
Hello.
A-Z-D. All right, here we go. Amen. Because we have to work together. If we want to accomplish what God is going to have accomplished.
Right.
Amen. So, number one, if you're going to be, don't play a blame game. Have generational consequences.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It had a generational impact.
Amen.
So what we do as parents, what we're doing is stuff. It has a generation. It goes from generation to generation. It impacts generation after generation. So every decision I got, I got to say carefully about my decisions and my actions, because they will impact generations after me. So if I'm going to be a we, and I'm thinking about we, and I'm thinking about those that will come after me, generationally in my family, and others that I have influence over, I got to be careful about my decisions and my actions. Y'all with me still?
Amen.
I'm going to go on my day off. It might be a little too easy now.
That's right.
I'm talking about being a good teammate. That's what it takes to be a good teammate.
Yeah.
You use this stuff. Use this stuff at work. This about a teacher. And you use this stuff at work. You can go up.
Amen.
I know, because I went up. Amen. You can go up if you don't have a degree.
Amen. It's true. It's true.
Because you got the right attitude. It's attitude that determines altitude. Some folks got a degree, but that degree, they don't really have a degree. The degree has them. And then they begin to think about me, and they think they're more than they are.
Right. Amen.
And when you think you're more than you are, sometimes you begin to act like you're all you will stop. Copernicus. Copernicus was a scientist. And he said that every child has to have a Copernicus revolution. Because every child thinks, let me see, Copernicus was the first one to say, before Copernicus, everybody thought the moon and the sun and the stars revolved around Earth. That the whole world revolved around Earth. Copernicus, being a scientist, said no. The Earth revolved around the sun. So a child thinks everything revolves around him because he's immature. Amen. Somebody gets his car, he says, "What I'm talking about." Everything gets in his way, he thinks, "Hey man, this should be in my way, because everything revolves around everything here for me."
Right.
And a child will always be immature until he has a Copernicus revolution happened. And he realized that the whole world don't revolve around you. But I'm trying to tell you today that it's not only for children.
Amen.
Sometimes y'all
will
think the whole world revolves around them. And if they don't come to work, amen, the plan is shut down. If they don't come to church, amen, and the worship is happening.
Yeah.
They think that everything revolves around them. But I'm trying to tell you, don't fool yourself.
Yeah.
Because the world was turned before you got here.
Yeah.
And bring your phone and bury it. Yeah. And let a tombstone on your grave if you're fortunate.
Yeah.
The world will keep turning around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Keep
moving,
we tell
you.
Keep
moving.
Amen.
Yeah.
Bet Faye ain't about me.
Yeah.
When, if I die today, Bet Faye had to go home. Amen. Even while I'm here, it has to go on. But I'm glad to have great teammates.
Yeah.
And when you got great teammates,
yeah.
You can miss church.
Amen.
But sometimes you got to have Sabbath. Sometimes you may have to take a Sunday off here.
Amen.
Sunday off day. But you got to have great teammates. Amen. Because you're amen. Because the bad thing about when you take off, you ain't got the right kind of teammates, you come back to a bunch of mess.
Right.
Y'all gonna do that at work?
Yeah. Amen.
You go on vacation and you come back, oh Lord. It took the whole everything out of all everything behind, go back to praise, everybody fight one another. Because they needed a we attitude to control a me atmosphere. You got to have a we attitude in order to come upon that be atmosphere and bring it back in office. This is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying this for the church. Says, man, listen, this is what I have in the paper. Go with me, y'all. Go with me. Mindset. I'm talking about a mindset. Look at verse 2. Complete my joy. I'm wait a minute. Let me stop now. I'm going to miss that. If I had that highlight, if I had that paper there. Complete. Now, Paul said, now, Philippians, when I think about y'all, I already got joy. I can tell y'all all through. If you read through Philippians, Paul talking about how much joy he gets. He just rejoices and is happy. He's in jail. But he just rejoices and is happy, regardless of his circumstances. But then he says here, he said, wait a minute. I got joy, but it's not complete. Because there's something that's bothering
me. All right.
I'm rejoicing, I got joy. But this thing, this disunity in the church is bothering you.
All right.
If y'all don't get the unity back, I can complete my joy.
All right.
I said, I got joy. I'm rejoicing in the Lord because God has been so good to me and God has blessed me so many ways and brought me through so many things. And even while I'm here in Cleveland, I can see how he's blessing the ministry and everything. And Epaphroditus has come and helped me out. And he's got here because he got sick for a little while. And I'm just stuck. But the only little thing that a problem I got, because I see the disunity. I'm hearing about the disunity. I'm hearing about people with me attitude rather than we attitude. Y'all can get that right. Ah, my joy will be complete.
All right.
Ah, that's what he said. I'm trying to wait. I'm trying to talk to the meeting chapter. Verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same what?
Mind.
Same love, being full of accord in a one what?
Mind.
All right. Do nothing from self and ambition, I can see, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. There's one who looks not only on his own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this
mind.
It's a mentality. It's a mentality that Paul wants them to get, and that's the we mentality, where they are encouraging and supporting and comforting each other.
Amen.
And they put down the weapons down by riverside. Oh, they ain't gonna study more no. See, that's what it says. Now, that's really talking about that's the top. That's the logical thought of what's gonna happen when we get to heaven. But heaven, you ought to see it, maybe see a little piece of heaven in church.
Amen.
A lot of people heaven in church while we're down here. We don't have to wait for everything when we get to heaven. People are being experienced some heavenly attitude. Especially when they when you come to church, you're going to have a little heavenly experience.
Amen.
So we've got to get that mindset, that mentality. That it's not about me. Okay. Another key thing, back to 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Everybody see that? Something about myself a little bit different. I think it's banging something. From selfish ambition. Aristotle, the philosopher, says, used this word in one of his papers, and he was talking about a greedy grasp for public office through unjust means. Aristotle said, when we used the word that he was talking about, those greedy politicians who wanted an office so much,
all right,
they were willing to use unjust means.
All right.
To get it. Oh, yeah, y'all gotta get it? Okay. Let me see if I can put it today. It's when you want your office so much that you're willing to pass a law and suppress the votes of others. I'm trying, man. Maybe y'all understand that a little bit better.
Okay.
Hey, man, you're willing to close down the boxes and close you've been leading. They're coming after y'all, and you're afraid they might get it. So what you want to do, you want to suppress the vote of them who's going to vote for righteousness to be in that office. So Paul says, if you're in the church, don't act like that. Church ought not act like that. Use an unjust, sneaky, low-down.
Sneaky,
low-down,
Lord have mercy.
Woo!
Lord have mercy.
And I'm not been to church. Church, I'm not ready. We should respect the glory of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that doesn't fit the church. Don't fit the church. And then he goes on to give an example of Christ. I tell you, this is quick my time, but this is so important, so important. Do not accept ambition, proceed, but you will count others more. Count others more significant than yourselves. Count others more significant than yourselves. Count others more significant than yourselves. Y'all see what y'all don't tell me about you? Repeat that again. It's not all about you. Not about me. Somebody more important than me. Don't think you're the most important thing.
Amen.
Some people are way more important than me. They're important because, you know, I can kind of do it in this assembly. This assembly. But they out there working, witnessing to neighbors in hospital rooms, feeding people that are hungry, that they don't hunger, around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They have the opportunity to do so many more things, and they can reach people that I can't reach.
Amen.
And they'll go places that I'm not comfortable going with, but they're comfortable going there.
Yeah.
So they're more important than me. Right now, you know, right there in the Bible shop. You know the brothers coming in the Bible shop.
Yeah.
Bible got to be like, you know, Bible like a psychologist.
Right, right.
We can't afford to go to that. You know, brother can't afford to go up on psychiatry, so you go sit in the Bible chair.
Yeah.
Now, you better be the right kind of Bible.
Yeah.
Because if you go sit in the wrong chair, I don't know if y'all do this at the beauty shop, but if you go sit in the wrong chair, you get the wrong information.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So he gets the type of people that don't go to church.
Right.
Come sit in the chair. And he can plant seeds from the Bible chair. And because so many different people come into that chair, he will probably say more people in that chair than come to church.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
That's
it.
Amen.
So I can't think that I'm the most important person.
Yeah.
And a lot of y'all like that. A lot of y'all have other influences, a lot of influence outside. All I'm here to do is just equip you the best way I can. So you can do ministry.
That's right.
Amen.
Tell you things about the Bible, teach the Bible, teach you a few principles and this and that. So you go take that out.
Amen.
And then what God has planned for you, you can do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do
what you do. Right? Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's it.
I'm glad.
Amen.
I'm glad all the weight ain't on me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's too much weight. Matter of fact, all the weight is on him. So listen. So he said, this is the example. This is the example. Christ is the example. Don't be grasping like your evil politician trying to hold on. But look at Christ. Look at Christ. He's the example you have to follow. Let's look at the example right quick. And then we're going to go in and see where we go. Have this mind among yourselves. I'm on verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Who, though he was in the form of God, form comes from the Greek word mos, which means an unchangeable. In situ. He was God and he never ceased to be God.
Amen.
Now this is looking back. Who was in the form of God? In other words, Christ was God before he was born and became a babe in the manger.
Right.
He was still dead. He had no beginning. He had no end.
Right.
Who was in the form of God? He did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. Same word. I talked about brag, how the evil politicians and the crooked politicians try to brag power,
yeah.
And sometimes they will exploit and undermine you because they're trying to get power. They don't, amen, keep people, they're holding on to their office. But listen here, Jesus was God in heaven. He had every right to the privileges of hell to be worshipped and served and live in glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And enjoy glory as the angels sung to him about how great he was every day. And he deserved it. He deserved it because he was God. He deserved everything that happened to him because he was God. But look at him. He said, I'm not going to hold on to this.
Yes.
He let it go.
Yes.
He didn't grab like a person. There's a me person. Because Jesus got out of a me mentality. He said, wait a minute, I've got to let this thing go. I'm going to let my glory go. I'm going to interrupt. I'm going to interrupt my glory in heaven. Because there, I'm in a we chain and somebody needs me down on earth. Now, if Jesus can interrupt him, the Son of God can interrupt his glory because he had every right to enjoy an uninterrupted glory throughout eternity, but he gave it up.
Yeah.
And emptied himself.
Yeah.
Now, that don't mean he emptied God out. He was always God. But when it said emptied himself, and then it goes over to the next verse. How he emptied himself. He did not enter himself by subtraction, but by addition. It's right here. Have in mind when he said, which is Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, he had that he was the form of God, therefore he was essentially God, unchangeably God, was God, would always be God.
Yeah.
He did not count his equality. I mean, all the things he blessed, he was blessed with to be God. All the things that God has done by just being God. All the glory he deserved, he interrupted that. He can't. Oh, I got to hold on to that. He don't have to hold on to that. Because I'm needed. But he emptied himself by taking the form of servant.
Amen.
His emptying was not subtracting because he did not cease to be God. But he became man. He added another form. He was not just a good man. He was a God man. He was both God and man. Totally God, totally man. Because he had to be man in order to die as a representative for mankind. But he had to be God. Amen. Because he wasn't just dying for one man. He was dying for all those that would receive him. So his blood and life were precious.
Yes, yes.
God man. He was God man. And he came all the way down. He was, amen. He came down. He was born. Laid in a manger. Yes. Swaddled up. That was the first step down. He was born.
Yes.
Amen. He wasn't born in no palace. Out there to stay. Wasn't no room for him in the end. But he was the God of the universe. Well, he was in glory and angels were worshiping him.
Yeah.
But then he got, not only that was the first step, but after he was born, he the way he lived.
Yeah.
All the rejection and everything he experienced as he lived with God, all the accusations, the way he lived,
yeah.
He was brought down some more. But then the worst part of the brain down was he died.
Yes.
He was obedient even unto the death.
Yeah.
and he could have stopped it.
Amen.
And he knows what happened when he didn't grasp for it. But I'm a part of the winning folks. give everything I got. And I give them what they need from me that particular night. That's what we gotta have. That's why we gotta be here for one another. Carry, support, put arms around. Yeah, there's gonna be differences. And I'm gonna be the same. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. You can let those little noise to stop people going to the cross. Amen. Gamma blood flow, stripping naked. Then come down, cross, save yourself. You say, save other shaft and beat them up. Crown was on, all kinds of anointing, but he did not stop on his mission.
Yeah.
You're trying to win. You don't let nobody turn you around when you're trying to win. Yeah. I do this for the team. Because I got a team coming along. I got a team. Carter won't be as best saying. And I got to die for them. Because if I don't die for them, they can't get the help I want to get. Because most of the time when you get a message like this, we get defensive. Put our defenses up. If we try to think ourselves, oh no, God ain't talking about me. There's someone here this morning who is forward in God, We use the word seed and plant to grow. Someone here to lead them. Church family. Have this birthday to make some mistakes. I need church. Somebody here that's already born in church, but they've been having the wrong mindset. Today they want to be a great teammate. You can't do it without your Holy Spirit. But we are naturally selfish. That you the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has helped us to be. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Just put it in your hands. Help us be church. As we meditate, thank my God away for us today.
Thank you.
and for one soul. Just watch us on there. Thank you so much for all you that are here this morning. Amen. Let's pray for our country. We're going to pray in this time. It's very bad. I want to thank y'all for asking up and, amen, being willing to spread out and trying to keep people that don't live in the same cause, same household, separated from one another. So it won't be a spread. Amen. Understand those words I was saying. Sometimes you would not have answered all the questions. So, I appreciate you listening. I try to be as careful as I can. Amen. And I continue to keep myself safe and fascinated in all I can. Amen. And I try to wear my mask so I get up here. Now, henceforth and forevermore, let us say together, amen.